Turn in your Bibles today to Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. The sermon title is today, The Final Authority, Part 2. And if you remember, about 3 weeks ago, we spoke about the final authority, and that the Lord is the final authority, and we spoke in regards to our nation. And it needs to be the final authority for our governor officials, before our leadership of this country. The final authority in their life needs to be God's will, and for God's will to be done. And we all said amen and amen, and I believe that, and you believe that as well. But today we're going to speak more about the final authority in your own life today. So in Matthew chapter 8, verse 23, it says, "Now when he got into a boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, 'Lord, save us, we are perishing.' But he said to them, 'Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?' Then he arose, rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, 'Who can this man be? Who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him?'" The NLT says it this way, that there was a fierce storm that came up, that struck, and the waves were breaking into the boat. In other words, the professional fishermen, all of a sudden that were in this boat, got scared because of this storm. And if you take professional fishermen and you get scared because of a storm, I would say that yes, indeed, this was a very fierce storm. You know, that they were in danger. The waves were actually swamping the boat, is what is being shared with us today. And shortly after this, Jesus heals those that were demon possessed. So if you just read just a few more verses, which we won't, but we see there that Jesus heals those that were demon possessed, or he delivered them. Jesus the Christ healed the sick. He delivered the possessed. He had power over nature, proving to all he alone had the power over sin. And he has the power over sin, and we praise God for that. So there's a two-part question I'm going to ask you today, and be careful when you think first of what your answer will be. So the two-part question, number one, for you today in your life, would you rather have Jesus in the boat or outside the boat? And number two, part of the time in the boat or all the time in the boat? Now turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. Wonderful passage of Scripture that most of you know, maybe not by heart, but you're very, very familiar with it. And sometimes we don't read quite far enough. But if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16, verse 16 says this, "Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God was doing what? As though he was pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, amen? I am saved to the uttermost, amen? This new birth experience is not only a spiritual transformation, that yes, indeed, it is a spiritual transformation, but it's also, listen to me, it's also supposed to be a life transformation. If you look at verse 15, it says, "And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." We no longer live for self. You live for Jesus Christ. When I came to Christ, I have a new family. I have a new set of values. I have a new motivation, a brand new life in the Lord Jesus Christ, because I am spiritually a brand new person. It is also supposed to have a brand new lifestyle. a brand new lifestyle that coincides with that brand new birth. Verse 16, therefore from now on we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. The world only knows Jesus through the flesh. You've heard my testimony, right? That when I was growing up, I believed in Jesus and I believed in God. I believed that Jesus walked this earth. I believed that Jesus died, that he rose again. I believed all those things, but I only knew him through the flesh. I never knew him through the Spirit. When you look at verse 16, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, that's how I knew him before. But when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I was born again into the kingdom of God, now we know him thus no longer in the flesh, but I know him by the Spirit. Amen? So that's what he has done in each and every one of our lives today. Our spiritual eyes have been opened to the reality of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You now know him through the Spirit. Christianity does not only require a life change, it demands it. Think about that just for a moment. Christianity not only requires a life change, it demands a life change. 3 weeks ago, we spoke on that. God was and is the final authority. Whether the world recognizes it or not, he's still the final authority. That in our nation's leaders' lives, God needed to be the final authority. What does the Word say? What does the Spirit say? That is my desire. That's what I will do as a people, as a nation. I want to follow the all-sovereign God. He is the final authority. Now turn with me to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. In verse 36, we're going to go to where Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. So Matthew 26, verse 36, it says, and Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to the disciples and he found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Again, a second time, he went away and prayed. Now listen to the words. Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. In Jesus' life, it's a very easy question. Who was the final authority in his life? And it wasn't Jesus. The final authority in his life was his heavenly Father. He wanted him to be the final authority. Not my will, but your will be done. How many of us have said that in our own life, in our own walk with the Lord Jesus? I don't want my will, Father. I want your will. I am willing to deny myself, pick up the cross, and follow you. My life in Christ is more valuable than silver, than gold, than diamonds, than anything else. I want to have a relationship with you. The leaders of our nation, whether we like it or not, are a reflection of the people. We live in a nation where God is not the final authority. But for too many Christians, God is not the final authority in their own lives. They are, for too many, they are not saying, not my will, but God's will be done. But instead, they are saying, it's not God's will, but it's my will that's going to be done. Back to the original question. Do you want Jesus in the boat or outside the boat? You see, for today, the boat represents your life. So how much involvement does Jesus have in your life? I've shared this example before, but I'm going to share it with you today because it's really worth sharing again. But the example was, is when we still lived in Pleasantville, I don't know if we were right in ministry, but we were close to being in ministry at the time. And we had our two kids. We had our two nephews that we adopted that we were raising. We had a brother-in-law that basically was dying in cancer over in Omaha, and his wife was with him, so we had a baby. So we had four kids, my two, the nephews that we were raising, and we had this baby to get ready on Sunday morning, and you can imagine what that was like. So we're rushing around getting ready, and we got two kids that don't want to go to church because they were not raised in a Christian home. So all of a sudden, man, this is a battle every Sunday. So Grandma Carol, Pastor Carol, gets up. She's got to make sure four kids are dressed appropriately. She needs to make sure that they have their breakfast, and they need to make sure she needs to make sure that the baby is taken care of as well. So it's a fight. It's a fight to get, and you know what it's like on Sunday? I mean, kids can be such vessels of Satan. Do you know what I mean? They can be vessels. I mean, they're not willing vessels, but they're vessels of Satan. If anything can stir up crap in your life like a kid, nothing else can. So we've got these four kids, and we didn't have a van. We had a small car. So you got four kids in back. You got a baby in the middle, and you got grandpa and grandma, which was mom and dad at the time, and you got a fight going on in the back seat. Yeah. He touched me. He pinched me. He kicked me. He did this. He did that. And I said, in all the Christianity that I had in my life, I said, look, you kids, sit down. Shut up. We're going to go to church, and if I have to stop this car, I may kill one of you children before we get there. Now, we're all going to go to church, and we love Jesus. And we're going to have a great time. You got it? So a fight, and fight. Pastor Leah would lose it. So how does this relate to the message? Pastor Leo's a grump. That's what it relates to. For far too many Christians in their life, they are saying, whether they want to or not, Jesus, get in the back seat and shut up, and I'll let you know if I need you. You see, we only want Jesus in the boat during the storm. We only want Jesus in the boat through the challenging times in life. But other than that, Jesus, you can either stand outside of the boat or you can just sit in the back of the boat and don't say anything because you know what? I am the final authority of what's going on. I'll let you know if I need you. You see, we only want Jesus in the boat when we need him, in the storms of life. At other times they are ready, I'm the final authority. Now turn with me to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. You didn't know your pastor was crazy, did you? Oh, you did know that. That's why I need to relieve my mind. Okay? I'll come back sane, I promise, okay? So, in Matthew 16, in verse 24, now listen to the words. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him, ooh, that's a big word, isn't it? Deny himself. And take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man or woman if they should gain the whole world and lose their own soul in the process? Let me ask you today, because it will reveal to you who the final authority is in your life. What has it and is it costing you to serve Jesus? Are we only serving Jesus out of convenience? Serving Jesus will never be convenient because Jesus will always make sure that it's not convenient to see if you're willing to walk in faith. I have never pastored when it was convenient. I wasn't called to the ministry. Carol wasn't called to the ministry because it was convenient. We had a house full of kids and two that were battling us every step of the day, every step of the way. But he called us to the ministry, and we were so excited. What, we didn't know much, did we? So serving Jesus will never be convenient to you. Christ will make sure it's not convenient, but are you willing to deny yourselves to follow Him because He is the final authority in your life? What is it costing you today to serve Jesus? I see people that are in ministry that it's costing them to do the things that they're doing. Jeanette brings these flowers. Well, it's no big deal. She has to get up. She has to arrange it. It's a cost. You see, she's willing to pay the cost. Willing to pay the cost. And there's so many other people, visiting people, reaching out to people. I'm ready to be inconvenient. I'm ready to be inconvenient because I want to deny myself and follow Jesus no matter what. We need to all get there. Because Jesus needs to be that final authority. Now let me ask you today, is He the final authority in your life? And many of us would say, yes, He is the final authority. But maybe you're still in control. You haven't ever accepted Jesus. You know why you haven't accepted Jesus? It's because you're your own final authority. You have put yourself on the throne of your life. I don't need Him. I don't want Him. I don't have nothing to do with Him. I can get through this life all by myself. I am strong enough. And those that accept Jesus, they're nothing but weak people. You're believing a lie of the adversary. What He is telling you today is you have placed yourself on the throne of your life and you are suffering from idolatry because you're worshiping yourself. But today He says, I want you to come to Me. Allow Me to be your final authority. And you know what the final authority is today? For you today that don't know Jesus, you need to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's the final authority. Let's pray. Father, we come before You today in the name of the Lord Jesus. We rejoice in Your goodness, Your grace, and Your mercy. And Father, in a way that only You can, I pray that You would sweep over this place with the Holy Spirit, and Your Holy Spirit would touch every heart, every life, and every believer. And if there's someone here that has not made that commitment, I pray that, Father, Your Holy Spirit has spoken to their heart that they need to make that commitment to You, that they want You to be the final authority in their life instead of them because they're failing miserably as they are. I pray that, Father, You would speak that to their heart and to their life. And I pray while every eye is closed and every head is bowed, would there be one today, I want Jesus to be the final authority in my life. I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Would there be one here today that would raise their hand for me to pray with them today? Pastor Leo, pray with me today. I want to accept Jesus. I want to make sure I know that I have Christ as my Lord and Savior. Would there be one? Father, we are thankful for Your word and we're thankful for Your presence. But if the rest of you, all of you would stand with me, we'll close in prayer today. Pastor Carol, would you close us in prayer today?
Father God, we thank You for this beautiful day that You have given us. And we thank You for each beautiful soul that has come to join us in worship and praise. Just as in the days of old, we gather as You have told Your people to gather and to worship You. I ask that You be with each person as we go our separate ways. And Father, go before us, behind us, encamp around us, and open the doors for us, yes, for Lord. Ministry, yes. For testimony, yes. To bring others into the fold. And Father, bless our week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You are dismissed.